When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ruby. And is that off? No.
You'll get it.
Green Day.
Almost.
Dang it.
Starts with an R.
Rage Against the Machine.
Rancid.
Oh, Rancid.
Yeah, Ruby's so home.
A very fun fact about me is, and Santa loves to play this game, we'll be in the car, and he'll play like the most famous songs imaginable, and he'll ask me who sings this. I could know every word to the song, and I will be so off base that it's shocking. Like, I know Taylor Swift songs, right. Sabrina Carpenter, like, I know what's going on right now, but old famous songs, I can sing them. I could probably tell you what the name of the song is, but artist escapes me.
Yeah. Hmm. We don't get everything in life, so we don't have that. And speaking of remembering things, I was just thinking about this during the break because I cited Tommy Boy, who was in college for 7 years, not a grade they like to give out, old Tommy Callahan, maybe one of my favorite movies of all time. And I mentioned Van Wilder. Is it me being a massive old head that I feel like we haven't had a cult comedy in a while? Like, I cite Dumb and Dumber, you cite Crab Cakes and Football, That's What Marilyn Does, Borat, you have Napoleon Dynamite, Vote for Pedro.
The Hangover,
you know, like, there are Pants at a Time Like This. I
Step Brothers.
So Step Brothers is a massive blind spot for me. I've never seen it. Oh my God, you have to
watch that tonight. It is so good and very quotable.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to think.
Like, what was the most recent cult comedy?
The most recent.
Where people, like, they'll mention it, you know exactly what's going on.
Mm.
Like, I have nipples, can you milk me? Like, you know, meet the
parents? I would probably say, when did Step Brothers come out? Like, 2000 and...
Oh, that's a while ago. That's 2000, like, 9, 10,
11. Oh, is it that long ago? Wow.
I didn't realize it was that long.
But I'm looking, like, since 2020, and there's nothing.
Oh, 2008.
There's nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I feel like, and a lot of people, I guess, in the Twitch chat, Shahey, cancel culture is the reason. Maybe we're turning back around on that. But yeah, I can't think of, and even like sitcoms, obviously, you know, I love The Office, but they're quotable, like Parks and Rec or, you know, there's nothing recently.
Yeah. Talladega Nights is a good one. I generally say, okay.
Ooh, Superbad. That was a good movie.
Yeah, but that's been a bit too old school. Caddyshack. Yeah.
Old school was awesome.
I try to look towards like Will Ferrell movies because he generally has that comedy.
Bring your green hat.
Like he's had a lot of the like.
Snoop-a-loop.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything?
Anchorman's pretty recent.
Ron Burgundy. When was that?
That was probably 2010.
Maybe that, no, but there was a two.
Anchorman, 2004.
Anchorman was 2004?
Yes, the first one.
Yeah, so like. Yeah,
way too. I mean, that's ancient. So I'm talking, and The Hangover was right around there, 2005. Yeah.
The second one was 2013. Dodgeball was 2004.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And they're trying to just make sequels or remakes now, and they're all different. Like the Mean Girls. Mean Girls was very quotable for a millennial
girl. Fetch.
Yeah, the new one, I couldn't tell you one line from it.
No. I saw Mean Girls with a bunch of girls at Boston College at Cleveland Circle for some stupid reason.
You are a smart guy.
I was great. I loved it. I made it happen. That lady, she told the weather with her boobs, which is much better than I do.
Yeah.
Anyway, if
you're
you have
just a
an
boob
idea
that tells
that,
the weather.
What's that?
You're just a boob that tells the weather.
There we go. Jackson's just getting revved up for Jackson versus Jesus at 9:30. So be ready and don't get all worked up. But let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll do it in the eyes.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Jackson. You and Greg getting lunch over the holiday? You guys seem really close these days. Any?
Yeah. We have a lunch date set for, December 28th.
Oh, love it. Make sure you
going to Costa Rica with him?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he hasn't asked me yet, but I'm hoping for the invite soon.
You know, just hang out outside of Echelon, and one day, boom, you'll go to Ocean
I really
Prime.
I wonder what would happen if I invited him to lunch. You know, hey, Greg, I'm in your area. Let's have lunch.
Yeah, I think
no
it
shot.
Might be crickets,
yeah,
unfortunately.
No shot.
But either way, I'm happy you're here, Jackson.
Well, thank you.
Where do we start today?
We're going to start with the clapback Joe, our guy Joe Mazzulla. Yesterday, we were talking a lot with Mego about the lower ratings in the NBA, and apparently Joe Mazzulla is contributing to that.
A lot of discussion around like NBA ratings and like ratings being down. Like, what are the reasons for that? Is it the product? Is it the messaging? Is it other things? Do you have any thoughts on that? Is it something? Is it a conversation you pay attention to at all? And do you have any thoughts on maybe how the game is discussed or sold that maybe is contributing to it?
No, I mean I add to that. I don't watch NBA games, so I'm just as much a follower as anyone else is.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't like watching the games.
He's an odd fella.
Yeah, he is, but...
I love it.
It is a... This is now the biggest... this is taking up steam. I don't know who was the one that reported it, but all I see on social media are people wondering why the NBA ratings are down. It'll be, you know, I don't know why, but Joe Mazzulla is not going anywhere. He'll be here as the head coach of the Celtics for as long as he wants.
Yeah, Courtney and I think we kind of agree. I mean, there'll be a lot... I think part of, you know, Curtis, you're right. I think there's a little... The NBA players were a little bit more vocal when it came to, like, some of the social justice stuff, and I think that maybe irritated some fans. I think it's a lack of, you know, I think it's that, but also I think it's a part of a lack of real drama in the NBA, what we used to have seen before. There's no real rivalries. Everybody's friends with everybody. There was a little bit of, you know, when you had the Celtics versus Heat, there was a little bit of that rivalry with Jimmy Butler and the Celtics.
Yeah, I think the last hate that I felt in an NBA game was maybe the most underrated playoff series of the last 20 years of dominance of Boston sports, Wiggs and Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
The 2008 semifinal of the Eastern Conference, the seven-game series with LeBron and the Cavs against Pierce, Garnett, and Allen.
Yeah.
They hated LeBron on that team, and that was an unbelievable series where Pierce and LeBron were going back and forth. That was legit hate. I don't think you're right. You don't have that
anymore. And Pierce would say it, like, you know, like when during press conferences, Pierce would talk about, you know, some of the things. And I don't think, you obviously you don't get that from today's players.
And I saw somebody in Twitch yesterday was saying, well, Giannis and Jaylen, it's like they make little jokes at each other in the in press conferences. It's nothing like it used to be. And when you see these guys outside of the season, they're all best friends. So
everybody's friends, their ratings never been higher.
But I think it's football, though. Football is just different.
But everybody says you can't touch anybody. You can't even hit the quarterback.
Right, but I just think the people just love the sport of football. They just
I just think our attention spans are so tiny, and that the NFL, the second most popular sport behind the NFL is college football.
Yes.
And then there is this massive drop-off to the baseball, basketball, hockeys of the world. So.
Yeah, because football is just people, you know, whether you're...
Gambling is a big component.
Gambling is a huge component. Like, gambling, I don't do a ton of, you know, parlays in basketball, but In
untapped market.
It is. But in football, whether it's college or professionals, I feel like there's just more. Then there's the whole fantasy football thing. But yeah, it's just like football is in a whole nother universe when you compare it to the other sports. And you can put college football into that universe as well.
All right, Jack, what's next?
Well, just a ratings note real quick. Carlos Tom is telling me that him and his buddies are still really into basketball, but it's because that you have to buy like 8 different streaming services to be able to watch it. Like you can't watch it like on, you know, ABC anymore.
But the ratings that are down are on, they're comparing ABC year to year.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. At least the youngins are still into it. And so we're going to move to football, and Drake May was asked about Mayo's job security, and here's what he had to say.
Oh, yeah, I think it's, you know, our his first year coaching, being a head coach, you know, it's a tough challenge, you know, for your New England Patriots. Just like I said, it's a lot of responsibility being the quarterback, same as head coach. It's a lot of responsibility, and you know, he's figuring it out, and you know, I think our players, you know, we're behind him, we're backing him, and we trust, you know, the plan he's got for us, and we trust, I think, what he says in the team meeting rooms and all those little sayings that he has. We believe in it, and we're bought into it. I just think, you know, the results are coming. I think they're coming. I think kind of, you know, everybody wishes they were now, and I think we're kind of striving for that. But sometimes I think it doesn't work out that way, but I think what we're coming and the winning is coming in the near future.
All right. Says everything right.
Yeah.
He's, give Drake,
I mean,
that.
Unbelievable. I mean, and you look at Caleb Williams, like, I the Patriots today. I know at this point of Mac Jones's rookie season, we also said Mac was the best pick.
Mm-hmm.
But Drake May feels, sounds, acts the whole entire part.
But you could see the play difference between Mac as a rookie and Drake
totally.
May.
Yeah.
I did this yesterday on Jones and Keefe. I thought it was hilarious. Like, you know, try to fix the Patriots in 60 seconds and kind of, you know, talking when you're hearing from Drake May, like things that you can fix them. And it was like a wish list of things that we would do. Everybody got 60 seconds to come up with what they would.
What was your 60 second plan?
My 60 second plan was lose out the rest of the season, get the number one pick, trade down, and then trade multiple first round picks to Cincinnati, get Ja'Marr Chase, trade a second round pick to Vegas, get Max Crosby, sign some free agent offensive linemen, fire both the offensive and defensive coordinator, hire Brian Daboll and Brian Flores as your coordinators, and then hire me as the tight end coach.
Bang.
I like it.
Yeah. Wiggy, if we did 60 seconds, Wiggy, that feels like a segment we should do.
Yeah.
So they did it yesterday, and it was pretty. I
love Jones and Keefe. I listen to them every day. It's an excellent show.
They had some interesting points. I think Jones was trade for DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And granted, mine might be.
Why not N'Keal Harry? Same draft, similar player.
Mine was maybe pie in the sky, but I think they fired, or maybe Jones fired Mayo. Keefe.
And brought in who?
He brought in, I forget who.
Vrabel?
I don't think it was Vrabel.
The OC from the Bucks. What's his name?
Oh, the offense coordinator from the Bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. And then Keith, he didn't fire Mayo, but he maybe fired the defensive coordinator. So, you know, it was just kind of all over the place of what you would do.
Yeah.
Well, what would you do?
What would I do?
Mm-hmm.
I would co-sign your plan with Ja'Marr Chase. I would trade back out of the pick. I agree with both of those.
Co-sign Daboll and Flores.
Yeah, if you could get Daboll and Flores, 1,000%. And I would tell Robert that it's been a phenomenal run.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a change at the top. We need to invest. We need to reshape this organization. We need to cut ticket prices. And we need to figure out a way to compete and protect Drake May in every way possible.
You went on ticket price. You went on a whole nother level.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you almost everything you said, Wiggs. I think that you're spot on. They need to get a pass rusher.
Uh-huh.
They need to fix the offensive line. They need at least two excellent to very good receivers.
Well, they also had, one of them had Travis Hunter, taking Travis Hunter.
No.
Maybe that was Rich Keefe.
Yeah, I don't think Travis Hunter, I think his value, I view Travis Hunter the way his fiance does. I'm kind of skeptical.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, so you're more in the Sean category.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have to make a decision, the Travis Hunter thing. I think Travis Hunter, if he's smart, he goes to wide receiver. Because if you look at the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, I think It might have been Justin Jefferson who signed like a $140 million contract. And the highest paid corner signed like a $90 million, had a $90 million deal. So if I am Travis Hunter, I say I am playing wide receiver in the NFL, and then I just focus on route running because his athletic ability is off the charts, and then you could teach him how to run routes.
I like it. All right, Jackson, that'll have to do it for today for They Said It. Coming up next, Courtney Cox-Dottore with the news.